Welcome to the Universal Sisterhood podcast. We're hoping to create a place where women can delve deeper, lift their gaze higher, live freer and laugh louder, smile brighter, be the authentic woman they were designed to be. Every human heart is created to be known, loved and understood. So this is the place where women can share their stories. So put your crown on. Let's get chatting. Welcome to episode 4. Hi Liv, how are you?
I'm good. Yourself?
Good.
How was your week?
Yeah, pretty good. I've got a green pea driver in the house, one step closer to leaving the nest.
Flying the coop.
Yeah. You, how was your week?
It was another super busy week. We had winter festival at school this week, so that's a lot of singing and dancing and lantern making, and it all ends on Thursday night, this Thursday just gone. And it was beautiful, really. It's just a really beautiful experience, and I couldn't help but think of those 400 children walking through the bush with lanterns. It was like, you know, fairyland.
How beautiful.
But I just kept thinking of the kindy kids and you know, imagining what was going through their minds. Like, that reclaiming wonder and imagination in children is just, I think, necessary.
It's the essence of childhood.
Because I think these days childhood sort of stripped from under them, like they're growing up far too quickly. And so, yeah, it was beautiful.
How lovely. Anything in your childhood done at night with lights is exciting.
Yeah.
You'll never forget that.
No, it's true.
How nice. Okay, so this week, episode 4, I was, as you all know, I was reading the book Everybody Always by Bob Goff, and there's one chapter where he helps a kid that's been abused by these witch doctors in Uganda, and he rescues him and he takes him back to the States, and he has multiple surgeries done for him and just trying to reconstruct him.
Shocking.
Yeah, so shocking. But so he kind of adopts this little kid called Charlie, and when Bob's kids turn 10, he asks these children where they'd like to go for their birthday. And so Charlie was now one of his little boys, and he said to him when he turned 10, where would you like to go? And, of course, Charlie decided he wanted to go to Kilimanjaro in Africa.
I want to go to McDonald's. He wants to go climbing.
Anyway, it was just so beautiful because he, of course, he took him there, and, of course, they climbed. But little Charlie, because of his age and his operations, he couldn't make it to the top. So I'm just going to read you what he said to him. And it says here, brave little Charlie made it to 16,400 feet. This was to be his personal summit. And then he goes on to say, before Charlie had headed back down the mountain with one of the guides, we had a ceremony. I had brought 15 medals with me and started pinning them on Charlie's jacket. I said to Charlie, you are brave, and pinned on the first medal. I said, Charlie, you're courageous, and pinned on the second medal. Medal after medal hung on his chest as I spoke words of truth and encouragement and love over him. As I put the last medal on him, I said, Charlie, you're a mountain climber, and I gave him a hug. And I just thought that was so beautiful that he was speaking these words of truth over him.
I'm so pleased I've read this before, because I'd be a blubbering mess if it was the first time. No, it's beautiful, really.
And he goes on to say, don't talk, he's talking about your children, don't talk to them about their failures and the dark places they've been. Talk to them about who they're becoming and the bright hope that is their future. Speak truthful and wise words over them. And I just thought that was so beautiful. And I remember back to my childhood, maybe they weren't truthful words, but they did make me feel really special. When we used to go down to our grandparents' farm, there was a restaurant and they had a little horse rag, would you call it? Yeah. And so the woman would, it's like a pony ride, she'd take you outside on this pony and you'd walk maybe 15 steps up the ramp and you'd stay there. And then
the ramp was, what, 1 foot off the ground?
Yeah. And then the horse would just walk backwards back down the ramp. That was it. But Dad used to say that I was a trick rider. And for years I thought I was heading for the Olympics in the show jumping competition. I seriously thought I could ride a horse.
Trick rider. Jess the trick rider.
but it just shows you the power of words.
Yeah.
And he called me Trick Rider for years. I used to go to a friend's house and they were all in gymkhanas and pony club. And I said, yeah, I can ride a horse. Oh, my God.
But you couldn't get a prouder father, really.
No.
Like, we were lucky.
We were.
It got embarrassing sometimes how proud he was.
Yeah, yeah. Even a proud grandfather.
Yeah.
But then I was at the gym the other day at my 6:15 boxing class. Mm-hmm. Surprise! I didn't see you there, Liv.
No, I was tucked up in bed with my water bottle.
But the music that was playing, it was so grotesque. It was revolting, and I just thought, if our kids are being fed this
vile,
yeah, but these lies about who they are and what they should be doing. Is so destructive. Mm, and if we're not doing it, then they are. They're doing it for us. And it just got me thinking on how do we speak truths over our children? And as mums, we're the voice that they hear the most. And we have to be speaking truths.
Yeah. And I wholeheartedly believe that that is necessary and true and good and everything. But I can't help but feel a bit of a fraud speaking on it because I was the absolute opposite this morning. I was a banshee trying to get four kids in the car on the way to school. I think I yelled, you know, I think someone had lost homework, someone had lost a rugby shirt, someone had lost a blazer, someone didn't empty the dishwasher.
Did you have ripped stockings on the way out the door?
Yeah, ladder in the stocking. And then just to top it off, Henry had the mother of all knots in his shoe. I reckon there were 10 knots. And as I'm running out the door with an arm full of gear, he said, "Can't you undo the knot?" And I'm like, "Get in the car!" like a banshee. And then I thought to myself later when you mentioned this topic, how poorly I had behaved this morning. Like usually we say prayers on the way to school and I was so wound up.
Good.
I struggled to even bring myself. Like we just have this same prayer that we say every morning. Mm. But I couldn't bring myself to say it, and I just ended up just saying, you know, something like, "Dear Jesus, please help me to be a good student, a good son and daughter. Fill me with wisdom. Help me to be a good brother and sister." I don't know. I just rattled something off that was completely not what I normally say, and my elders just went, "Go, Mom." But I think I just had to step out of the usual routine. And I think actually saying something like that sometimes from the heart is better than the rote prayers because it made them think about what I was saying.
Yeah.
Anyway, but getting back to that.
But imagine having that steady diet of barking orders, hurry up, quickly, do this, no, don't do that. I mean.
It's shocking.
Yeah, but that happens in my home daily. But I have to turn that around.
Yeah, yeah. And for the children, the school day is, particularly the little ones, the school day is their world. And for us it's just a minuscule part of their timeline, of their journey. But, yeah, it's their whole world. So when we send them off into their world, you've got to question yourself, have I done that well? Have I sent them off lovingly with joy and hope and encouragement? Or was I a banshee like Liv was this morning?
Or me. Yes.
So, yeah, I think we have to be intentional in how we send them off.
Yeah.
Like it has to be loving and it has to be encouraging and, you know, we hope you have a great day. And
yeah. Well, I had to Google speaking truths because I don't do it naturally. I'm more of a barking orders type mother.
You have the same genes.
Yeah. I do actually get to the end of the day sometimes and think, have I actually smiled at my children today? I actually feel really sad because sometimes I don't think I actually have intentionally smiled at them.
No, but, you know, that's normal though.
How good am I?
Yeah. But
I do. I go and look at them asleep and I think, oh, my gosh, I'm so sorry.
Yeah, I know.
I'm sorry. I mean, the day gets... it's rush it from one rush, you know, thing to the next.
But again, like we do, I know that's true, and I feel like that too, but I think sometimes we have to cut ourselves slack because it is tough. Like this, as I said on the last podcast or two ago or something, you have to recognize the season you're in, like recognize its pitfalls and its values and give yourself some slack, try and have patience and just love.
Yeah. So I Googled, as I said, speaking truths, and this one woman, this is her prayer that she rattles off to her boys every day, and I just thought, wow. She says, "You are a man of integrity and character. You will love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, and all your strength. You will be a blessing to your teachers and a blessing to your friends. You are the head and not the tail. You are above and not beneath. You are a leader and not a follower." And I thought, if I could say that every day, I would be winning.
Yeah. Yeah, that wasn't me. No. I could barely get the words out.
But
it was decompressing.
Yeah, I think we have to be intentional about speaking and declaring truths.
Mm-hmm.
I've heard it a lot, but I've never known how to do it.
Mm-hmm.
And I just want to speak life to their hearts and for them to rehearse these truths in their minds so that they can draw on them when they come to a place of despair and doubt.
Mm-hmm.
Things like, I want my kids to know who they are, like really to the who they are and whose they are, and ultimately they're God's.
Mm.
So to get them there, I have to give them these little tidbits, you know, little verses that they can draw on, like sound bites that they can hold on to.
You know, you and I have teenage boys, and they probably cringe when we say it. I know mine would.
Yeah.
But who cares?
Yeah.
It's coming from a place of love, and just do it.
Yeah.
Michael cringe. But.
I know. So things like you're a gift from God, like just to let them know that they are a treasure. They're treasured. They've been given to us as a gift, and a gift is something that you happily receive always.
Mm-hmm.
And they need to know that they're an actual gift. God has a plan for your life. I thought that was beautiful because, you know, you can always be a little disheartened, think, where am I going? What am I doing? I've got, you know, there is a plan.
Yeah. And I think parents need to really think about that as well, because sometimes we can get so caught up in hoping that they're going to turn out okay, hoping that they'll be happy, hoping that they'll find a good partner, you know, all these fears.
Mm.
And yet we should just, like, they're not ours. God's the one with the plan. God's got them in the palm of his hand. We're just, you know, we're guiding them here, but they're essentially his. And we've got to trust that he has a plan. There's that beautiful Proverbs 22:6, and it's train up a child in the way he should go, and even when he is old, he will not depart from it. And I take a lot of hope from that. Like, you know, we don't know, our children are still little, and we don't know what the future holds. But what we can be guaranteed is that we've given them the best we know how, and we're giving them the truths of the church.
Yeah.
And that even if, God forbid, they stray, they will come back. God's promised that.
Yeah, and also to trust in his plan, trust that he has our child's best interest.
Mm.
And, you know, just trust.
Mm.
He loves our child more than we do.
Yeah.
And he's faithful. He's so faithful.
Mm.
The other thing is to say, I'm so happy that you're my child, that God gave me you to be.
Mm-hmm.
Your mother.
Mm. Yeah, that's beautiful.
Proud. You know, I'm so proud of you. Mm. We all want to know these things. We all want to be told that we're loved and that someone is proud of us. I do.
Well, we all want affirmation. It's part of our being. But
and then when I get dressed up to go out and I never get any calls.
Yeah. I always say, wow, you look daffodil, hoping for a
return.
You look hot.
Yeah,
it doesn't happen, but you know.
I don't even go fishing anymore because I don't. Yeah, but we went out last night. That makes me more upset. Like, we went out last night and I thought, well, I swan out there and shake my hair.
Bat your eyelids.
Yeah, it didn't make a lick of difference. You didn't even notice.
Well, I had my hair done and you noticed 2 days later. Anyway, you know.
We're not talking about ourselves. Yeah, that's right. But also another thing which has taken me a while to get into, but having worship music on in the car. Yes. Instead of the
this cracks me up. Jess and I have just discovered worship music. And a lot of it's Hillsong.
Yeah, it's Bethel.
Yeah, and it's different to the hymns we've grown up with. And those hymns, they're beautiful. And but it's different. It's a little bit more upbeat, I suppose. But it's so meaningful compared to the rubbish that's on the radio.
I don't know. It speaks to your heart.
Yeah, you really listen to the words.
Yeah. But also it's beats and tunes that you can't – could almost be, you know, seen as modern music. Modern music.
Yeah.
I was walking to swimming lessons on Wednesday and my youngest is there belting out what was it?
Shout to the Lord.
No. It was he was no longer afraid. He was no longer a slave to fear.
That's really
I am a child of God. I just cracked up laughing. He, unbeknownst to him.
What did the swimming teacher say?
He looked at me sideways. And, yeah. Anyway, but I mean, I prefer him to say those words than
what you heard at the gym.
Oh my gosh, it was so revolt. It was something like, let's do what we text, you know, let's do what we've been texting each other. And yeah, it just went downhill from there. It was so revolting.
Yeah. But yeah, I think getting back to whispering truths, God knows us all by name. So if you tell your children that, like, that's
powerful.
Yeah. We're not just like a group of humanity. He knows each of us by name.
Yeah. And he knew us before we were even in our mother's womb.
That baffles me over and over and over again.
Oh, yeah. No, I was just also when kids doubt themselves and complain about how they look or we have to nip those lies in the bud because they're lies. Mm. I mean, we can do that, put on that southern drawl and say that comes from the pit of hell, kind of, you know, make light of it. But it's lies. It's not true.
Yeah.
You were fearfully and wonderfully made. We should be saying that to them.
And as a teacher, my goodness, has anxiety gone through the roof in the last 5 years? Mm. Like,
yeah.
They're just listening to rubbish and social media, you know, everything's based on how many likes you get.
But they're also being fed that they're not good enough.
Mm. Mm.
They're not pretty enough. They're not thin enough. They're not smart enough.
Mm.
You know, they're not sexy enough. They are enough.
Yeah.
And we have to keep reminding them that because they're being fed these lies day in, day out.
Mm. Yeah. But, like, I don't know who told me this, but it was probably some parent conference I went to, but, you know, to always – praise always works better than, you know, like
negativity.
But not just to say, you know, like you did an awesome job, you were so good, everything was perfect. You don't always have to go that far.
Mm.
The better option is to praise their effort.
Yeah.
Rather than the final outcome, even if the final outcome was brilliant.
Yeah.
You know, just to say you did a really good job, you really worked hard on this, this and this. Yeah, just the effort side of it.
Yeah.
Because it's not all about winning or being
the
best.
It's not about the end result. Yeah. It's about the journey.
Mm.
Yeah. Also, when they are feeling not good enough, get in their face. Like get down, get in their face and say, you belong, you matter, you're kind, you are good, you belong. Mm. And just to tell them these profound truths.
Yeah.
Like, you know, I know sometimes you think, there's nothing, you know, they drive me mad. But I'm sure there's something.
Yeah.
There is something there that you can say to them in all honesty and all truth about them.
Yeah.
Mm. You are his and you are mine.
Yeah. We tried for a while at the dinner table at night to, we started with like, what was one good thing that happened today? But, you know, that's a bit cheesy.
Yeah, we tried that a few years ago.
We tried to say, I think it was just, actually, I don't think it was a nightly thing. I think it was Father's Day. And we said, what's one good thing about Dad? And it just went
downhill.
No, they were all great, but it just, like, turned into a laughing match. It was just funny. But that's with teenagers, you know, that you can – you can practice this fully with little ones. They'll just soak it up like a sponge. With teenagers, it will be a bit more of a task, but you can still do it. And I don't know about yours, but my boys went through that stage around 15, when it wasn't so cool to hug mum. Yeah. 14. Maybe it was 13. But now they're getting cuddly again. Mm. They'll come and kiss me and hug me goodnight. You know, I even just try, like, walking through the shop, go and link arms with them. They hate it. But at least, you know, just those little actions.
Well, that's like that. What we used to do, mum used to do with us, hold their hand and squeeze it three times. I love you.
Yeah.
Have we said that before?
Yeah, we have.
Yeah.
But we both still do it.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, that is a truth.
Yeah. Yeah.
But that's not actually speaking it, is it? I think also we as adults, as women, as mothers, we need truth spoken over us as well. Mm. We need to be told that we're loved. We need to be told that we matter. We need to be told that we're doing a good job or we're doing the best job we can. Because we doubt, women doubt themselves
all the time.
Yeah,
I remember a girlfriend, one of the boys' friends' mum texted me after Mike had stayed the night and just said, gee, he's got good manners and he helped clean up after dinner. I was like, oh, praise the Lord.
It's nice to be reaffirmed.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. And we're craving for it. Not out of
pride.
No.
No, it's just.
Just we're created that way to be known, loved and understood.
But, like, you know, yesterday when we all got together, a group of friends, the women, we were bouncing stuff off each other because we want to know that, like, what's going on at home, the hard yards, is normal. Yeah. Women need to have that affirmation that what you're going through is normal and you're doing a good job.
Yeah.
Men don't need that. They can internalize stuff more.
They don't need the verbal affirmation, maybe.
Except if they've just mown the lawns and he asks me to comment on how bad it is.
And if they've chopped the wood and they won't do this to tell you that the wood pile looks good. Yeah. Yeah. Or if they're dressing up to go out at night.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Always.
But
tell him, the aftershave's damn good.
I'd like to know that too. And another thing is over our marriage, because marriage is in such dire straits these days.
Yeah, people give up too easily.
Yeah, and to be told, you know, declaring truths over that, it is good.
Yeah.
You know, you're doing a good job, you know. Because there's
to each other, are you saying, or to others, or both?
Or have somebody call that out over you. Mm. Like, you know, we try and go out once a week on a date.
He tried once a term.
No, I must admit, actually, we have. It just hasn't been the regular. Mm. We used to do it every Thursday night, but I was getting too fat.
Too many vinos.
Because Thursday, then Friday, then Sunday. Yeah, so I said, we can't do Thursday night anymore. And it has to be like a Friday, but then it's been really busy.
But I agree because, I mean, look at the state of the world. One in three ends in divorce. Mm. And, we've got to help each other out. And particularly young marriages too, that be honest with them. It's not easy. It's not a walk in the park. You've got to work on it. And till death do us part.
That's right.
But it is beautiful. And those struggles, they're tough. They're real. But that's part of it.
Yeah.
That's what makes you stronger as a couple.
Yep. True. Yeah. Okay. We're finished. Joy? What joy have you had this week, Liv?
My first joy would be that quote that that I just read out, Proverbs 22, just that, you know, that hope that God's got them in the palm of his hand. If we give them the truth of the church, then they'll be all right.
Hmm.
He's got them.
Okay.
But, yeah, joy, other than that, would have to be laughter at the dinner table. We were in hysterics the other night over something James had come across.
I'm sure your table is always...
It's always pretty wild. It's always
pretty loud.
But, yeah, that always, like, just having the six of us around the table in stitches, yeah.
Oh, that's beautiful.
I love that. What about you?
Well, it would have to be the song that Harry was singing the other day at swimming, No Longer Slaves, by Jonathan David and Melissa Helser. It's a Bethel song.
So is Bethel the band? Because I haven't.
It's the group, yeah.
Okay.
And I think they're connected to Hillsong. But listen to it. It's such a beautiful song. And it's a good one to belt out in the car.
So say it again, No Longer Slaves, was that it?
Yep. Yep. Good to belt out in the shower. At the swimming pool, obviously.
For those of you who don't know Jess, she was always the sibling on top of Dad's oak chest with a hairbrush, belting out whatever she could.
Yeah.
Jacko, Mariah, Celine.
You name it. I sang it.
So I don't.
And now I have a daughter who does the same. Yeah,
but I don't doubt you sang Bethel in the shower.
Yeah, I did. Yeah, best acoustics.
Yeah.
Okay, have you got a prayer for us, Liv?
Yeah. Yes, I do. I have this beautiful prayer I was given in 2010. It was at our parish, actually. They handed it out on Mother's Day. And I've kept it in my wallet ever since. So for 8 years, you can imagine it's a little bit tacky. But I'll read it.
It's well loved.
It's very well loved. Jesus, I place the name of my children in your hands. Engrave them therein forever so that nothing or no one will be able to take them out of your hands. Jesus, please hold my children when I have to let them go, and always may your strength be above their weakness. You know how fiercely the world will hate them if they refuse to go the world's way. I do not ask you to spare my children's sorrow, but be their comfort when they are afraid. Just on this topic, give me the strength and the courage to speak truths into them, to instill in them courage, kindness and righteousness and a deep love of your Blessed Mother and yourself. Will you, for the sake of your name, dear Jesus, keep them in your covenant and never let them be estranged from you their whole life long? Amen.
Amen. That's beautiful. Isn't Can I have a beautiful? Copy?
Yeah, I've always meant to get copies.
Just
8 years of meant to get copies, but I will. But it's beautiful.
Yeah.
And that gives me comfort too, like, you know, the world will try everything on them, I'm sure.
Mm-hmm.
But just like never let them go. You know,
don't
just,
give up.
Yeah, but mm-hmm. just like, you know, yeah, anyway, it's beautiful.
Lovely.
I'll get you a copy.
Thanks. Okay, have a good week.
Thank you. You too.
See you later.
See you.
Bye. So if you enjoyed this podcast, could you please share it with a friend or leave us a rating on iTunes? That way it gets the word out. Thanks. Have a good week. Bye.
The podcast you just heard was published with Anchor. Got something you want to say to the creator of this show? Send them a voice message using the Anchor app, free for iOS and Android.